live from the Quad Cities with Morgan Otier and Kyle Keel. This is Quad Cities Live.
The Great American Total Solar Eclipse has everyone buzzing. Today on Quad Cities Live, the experts are here to tell us how you can watch it safely, including a live feed with a state-of-the-art telescope created by a man from the Quad Cities. Take your mind off the snow and think about your garden with useful tips from the University of Illinois Extension Office. And you live in a home you truly love. Interior designer Courtney Lawrence is here with some ideas for you heading into spring.
QC, that's where we work best when we're together. QC, that's where is brought to you by a partnership with the Quad Cities Chamber and Visit Quad Cities.
Thanks so much for joining us for Quad Cities Live on another wintry April afternoon. It is Tuesday, April 3rd. I'm Kyle Keel. Morgan has the afternoon off. QC, that's where. Over the past few weeks, we've been spotlighting businesses with a passion for where we live. And today, TV6's General Manager Sue Ramsett sits down with the Senior Vice President of TBK Bank, Amy Christ, who says, QC, that's where trust matters.
My grandmother actually was like the head cashier at a really small town bank up in Minnesota. And I remember just walking around behind the teller line and going into the vault and just thinking that that was just so cool. And I just kind of ended up with a finance major in college. Banking went a little bit to the selling culture, and that was really my foot in the door. At TBK Bank, we really offer the gamut of services. It's definitely not a one-size-fits-all. We actually have an account that doesn't even have checks. Up to accounts that, pay a higher interest rate, and you get free checks and, free wires to anything on the business account. Again, where it's a real small business, to the most complex business that requires treasury management services. We can do, very large loans. So we're not a one-size-fits-all. We don't want to be a one-size-fits-all. So we have a lot of expertise here locally from bankers that have got lots of experience.
So what makes TBK different from other similar organizations?
We want to be your bank. I mean, we don't want to just be your lender. We're really not interested in those just transactional deals. We want those relationships. And I feel when you've got a relationship with someone and they maybe have a tough year, it's those relationships that get you through those tough times. We truly want to make, banking be the best experience for our customers that it possibly can be. It's wonderful to be able to walk down the hall and, actually talk to someone instead of calling an 800 number. It feels just like, it's just one small bank, but, we're large.
What is the level of community involvement for your staff?
We all sit on a variety of different nonprofit boards. All of our employees are encouraged to volunteer during working hours. In fact, they give our hourly employees, 8 hours of paid volunteer time. We're not told, what organizations to be involved in. It's really find your passion. For some, it's coaching their kids. For some, it's being involved in their church. For some, it's another nonprofit organization that they feel really passionate about. We've sponsored the Quad Cities Marathon. It's been the TBK Bank Marathon for several years now. We've actually sponsored the marathon for more than 20 years. We've been the co-sponsor of the Bendorf Rotary Lobster Fest. I think last year we gave more than $300,000 back into the community.
For many people in the community, they hear TBK Bank and they immediately think sports complex. How did that come about?
Well, first of all, they call it the Betplex still a lot, but, I try to correct them that it's a TBK Bank sports complex. I joke with my friends that they have to give, put a little $5 in kind of like a swear jar. The original brainchild behind the TBK Bank sports complex is actually Doug Kratz. Doug and Perry Hansen were the original founders of the National Bank, who then became part of TBK Bank. So it was really kind of Doug Kratz's brainchild behind all of that. But it has, brought an enormous community awareness, to the bank. And we're thrilled to have our name on it. I feel we're so blessed to have that as a, you know, part of our community. And boy, when my son played, you know, travel baseball and soccer and basketball, did I wish we had that structure out there that's 3.5 miles from my house. You know, the economic impact that it's brought and everything that's gone up around it is just absolutely, it's mind-boggling.
Please take your talents and experience anywhere. Why do you choose to stay in the Quad Cities?
I think a lot of people think that, you know, living in Iowa or Illinois, that we're just, you know, it's just a bunch of corn and we don't do anything fun. I feel like we have more concerts and festivals and things to do than about any place I've really ever visited. Housing is incredibly reasonably priced. It's a really economical place to live, and the schools are just amazing. I don't know that I'd want to live somewhere else. I love the people. I've worked with customers that have started their businesses literally in their basement and have grown and passed their businesses down to their children. And it is such a compliment when someone introduces you to someone else, say, this is my banker. That's the best feeling in the world.
Peace there. Thanks so much to Mr. Ramsey, as well as Andre in our promotions department, for putting that together. Well, I'm so happy that Amy Crist is joining us now to talk to us all about TBK Bank. Amy, thanks so much for sitting down with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, you're welcome. Quite a history that you have with TBK Bank. And, you know, you kind of alluded in the story that you felt when you first got started in banking that you felt the need to prove yourself. Why do you think that was, and how did that thought get you to where you are today?
When I first started, especially in commercial banking, it was not unusual for me to be the only female in an entire room full of men. So I had to find a way to prove myself and do things better than my predecessors. Mm-hmm. I had to learn not to back down from difficult situations, to hold my head up high and to say, you know, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I had to find a way to do things different and better to show them that I could do it. No offense, I do think women are better communicators.
Sure. Hey, no offense taken, no.
So I found through, you know, communication and my consistent follow-up and attention to details and, you know, making sure that the deal got done or followed through to the end was really one of the keys to my success. And if I made a mistake, I owned up to it and learned from it and went on. And, you know, 12 years ago, when back when it was still the National Bank, yeah, they were looking for someone to manage their team here. And that was always a dream of mine, to coach and mentor my own team. Mm-hmm. So I was lucky enough to get the job. And, you know, the best part of my job is that I get to, you know, work with an incredible group of people and still have my own portfolio of customers, yeah, as well. So it's great.
And how has it felt taking on that task to have a team of your own to coach these people and to take them through their own journeys?
I learned something almost from them as well every, yeah, day. But it's extremely rewarding to help them maybe structure a deal. We've got people that are very experienced. Actually, yesterday we sat around the table and we added up that between all six of us, we actually have a combined 150 years of banking.
Wow.
So
there's experience.
There's
experience at TBK Bank.
There is.
So you really alluded in the beginning there to trust. Trust is very important. Why do you think that is important for people to have trust in TBK Bank?
Trust has become increasingly important in banking. Last year, with the failure of SVB Bank, Silicon Valley Bank,
yeah,
people started to not trust their banks. They're like, do I need to take my money out of my bank and hide it under my mattress again? You know, we didn't just sit there and wait for our customers to come in or have a run on the bank. We were proactively calling our customers. You know, we sent pieces out in the mail to our customers to ensure, you know, to assure them that we are, you know, adequately capitalized, that their money's safe within the bank, and just didn't want to ignore the situation. We wanted to address it head on.
And that kind of brings the importance of banking locally as opposed to maybe a national bank, because you have the roots here. You're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
we're,
yeah,
not going anywhere. I think when you bank locally, you're banking with a group of people that, you know, are living and working in the same community, that, you know, we're making the decisions, we're going through the same things that you're going through. Mm-hmm. You know, we have things that happen here that don't happen in other areas of the country. We might have a flood or something. So, you know, we're living through some of those hard times with you. And, you know, as I mentioned in the segment before, we're not a one-size-fits-all. Right. We want to sit down and we do want to listen and make sure that we put our customers in the right products and services.
And the customer is what comes first. You all take pride in putting the customer first and having that personal connection with them.
We do. You know, we've got a couple of, we've got little triumph things up for every letter of And two of them that resonate most with me is, you know, the mission is more than the money, and people make a difference. So.
And I think that holds absolutely true. And again, you know, you mentioned that you have the TBK Bank Sports Complex. You sponsor the marathon. I mean, you do a lot of good for our community.
We do. We do. And we have, you know, many of our employees just love to volunteer. So it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Amy, it was a pleasure sitting down with you today. Thanks for stopping by. And of course, as a reminder, you can check out all of our QC That's Where segments on our website, kwqc.com, as well as on our news app. All you have to do is just click the Quad Cities Live tab. And for all things going on with the Quad Cities, visit Quad Cities and the Quad Cities Chamber. We've got their websites on the screen right now. Again, Amy, we appreciate you being here
today.
All right, well, next on QCL, the countdown is on. We're just 5 days away from the total solar eclipse. We have some experts here to talk about the science behind it and how you can see it for yourself.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You've heard on Monday that parts of the United States will go dark. From about 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., there will be a total solar eclipse. And we're not far from the path of totality. Now, there will be a partial eclipse from sea to shining sea. And if you head south of the Quad Cities, you will be able to see 100% of the sun eclipsed by the moon. So to get to the science behind this amazing spectacle, Dr. Robert Mitchell from St. Ambrose University's Engineering and Physics Department is joining us now. And this is a phenomenon that people love to be a part of. We were just talking. I asked him, are you excited about the eclipse? And he said, that's one way to put it. So this is very exciting.
Extremely exciting.
Extremely exciting. So for those who might not be familiar with what exactly an eclipse is, we kind of went through this back in 2017, but it kind of gave a refresher of what happens during an eclipse.
So when the moon is in its new phase, it's more or less between the sun and the earth. Mm-hmm. An eclipse happens when the moon is exactly between the sun and the earth and thus casts its shadow on the earth's surface.
Yeah. Yes. And so this is a situation that happens often around the world, but why is it that sometimes we in the United States don't experience it while other parts of the world might be experiencing it?
Well, one reason is that the moon's shadow comes in two parts, mm-hmm. an umbra and a penumbra.
Okay.
The penumbra, if the penumbra is falling on your part of the earth, then the moon is only partly covering the sun, and that's when you get a partial eclipse.
All right, so I wanted to kind of go into that as well. So we've got the partial eclipse, we've got a total eclipse, which we'll be experiencing on Monday, and then we've got an annular eclipse, which happened last year, was that right?
Yes, last October.
All right, so let's talk about the differences between that, because there are important differences.
The difference comes from the fact that the moon's distance from the earth is not always the same. Sometimes a little closer, sometimes a little farther. And when the moon is a little bit farther from the earth than usual, then the umbra, which is the part that caused the total eclipse, it doesn't even reach the Earth's surface. So anyone who is standing underneath where the umbra would be, the moon doesn't quite look big enough to cover the entire sun. So you're, at even the best, you're left with a little ring of sunlight around the moon's shadow, and that's what an annular eclipse is.
And we're kind of seeing that right now, the differences between those eclipses that you were just talking about. And, you know, you kind of mentioned that a total solar eclipse can only happen when we're in the new moon phase. So, you know, tell our viewers why every new moon phase doesn't necessarily mean we're going to see the eclipse.
So if you think of the Earth's orbit around the sun, it kind of forms an orbital plane. And then the moon's orbit around the Earth forms an orbital plane of its own. The thing is, the moon's orbital plane is tilted a little bit relative to the Earth's orbital plane, so that most of the time when there's a new moon, the moon's shadow falls either above or below the Earth and misses the Earth entirely.
I mean, if you've not seen this eclipse, I mean, if you didn't see the one in 2017, now is your chance, because when is the next one? Do you know off the top of your head?
There will be a total solar eclipse in 2044
okay.
that only parts of Montana and North Dakota will see.
Okay, if so you want to go far away.
if you want one that's going to cover a larger part of the U.S., you have to wait till 2045.
All right. So obviously, to see the solar eclipse, you can't look directly with the naked eye up into the sunlight because obviously that would damage your eyes. You don't do that on a normal day. Look directly in the
Absolutely.
Sun. So you've brought some safety techniques with us. So the one thing that you probably heard about and you've seen in the grocery stores. Are these solar eclipse glasses. So you explain how these work, because right now I put these on mm-hmm. and all I'm seeing is black. So this is to where you can safely look into the ultraviolet rays, right?
When you're wearing glasses like this, the only thing you can see is the sun or like a really, really, really bright flashlight or bulb.
Right, so when you're looking up, you'll be able to see, at least here in the Quad Cities, where we're, what, 90% totality? Somewhere close to that.
90% max.
You'll be able to see just a little sliver of that sunlight when you have these certified safety glasses.
Yes.
Is it safe if someone has one of these from 2017, is it safe for them to use it?
It should be if it follows the same safety requirements.
Okay, and of course, the safety requirements are listed on the inside of these as well, so you want to be sure that you're getting a certified pair. Of course, these are at the hardware stores. And et cetera around town. So you've
yes.
also brought a couple different examples of how we can safely view this, right?
Well, if you're lucky enough to view the eclipse in a group or a public event
yeah.
where there are amateur astronomers setting up telescopes,
yeah.
this is the kind of filter they'd have on the front of their telescopes.
Okay.
It basically does the same thing as the glasses. It blocks out the vast majority of the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that it be a filter that goes in the front of the telescope
sure.
that blocks most of the sunlight from getting into the scope at all. And that it fits securely on the front. And this model even has screws on it to help it keep it secure.
Okay, and then you've got a pinhole projector, which this is something that I saw quite a bit of in 2017 of people using a pinhole projector. So talk about how that works.
Well, of course,
the
absolute safest way
yes.
to view the solar eclipse is not to look toward the sun at all,
yeah.
but to instead project an image of the sun onto, say, a white piece of paper. And sure. so what we've done here, if I can be able to show the inside. So what we've done.
Okay, so we got a piece of white paper on the inside with a cutout of a square on the outside of this. So basically, we want to get the sun to shine into that little pinhole there.
Through the pinhole here,
okay.
it will project an image onto the white paper, and then this is a little viewing box for you to see inside.
Okay.
See, ideally, you want the box to be sealed up so that no ambient light gets inside
sure.
while you're using it. So.
Sure, and if you just kind of Google how to do this, you'll get many different ways to do this, and it will shine the eclipse view right onto that piece of paper in there. So
yes,
a very cool, simple way to do that safely.
There you
and
go.
You're also participating in many events here as we head toward the eclipse, and we do have some watch parties here on your screen. The Popular Astronomy Club will be hosting an event on April 4th to get kind of an in-depth look at what eclipses are ahead of the eclipse. So that happens at the Rock Island Midtown Watts Library.
Right.
We also have a few other events going on as well. We've got the Quad Cities Astronomical Society and the Popular Astronomy Club hosting a viewing party to watch the eclipse at the Moline Public Library from noon to 3. That happens Monday, April 8th.
Yes.
And we also have another event to talk about as well. The Quad Cities Astronomy Society will be at the Bettendorf Family Museum to watch the eclipse as well. And I know that there's been several other events from all across eastern Iowa and western Illinois to view this very exciting eclipse. I know last time I viewed it, I was up in Dubuque, Iowa. I was in awe. I was overwhelmed. I wasn't really expecting. I don't know what I was expecting, but what I saw, it was very overwhelming. So it's a sight to see on Monday. All right.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Well, we are getting to a lot more here on the eclipse. We now know the science behind it. So now we catch up with a Quad Cities native behind a telescope he created a telescope that allows us to see the eclipse close up. We'll talk more with him next on Quad Cities Live.
Watching Quad Cities Live.
No doubt there's plenty of excitement surrounding the Great American Total Solar Eclipse happening on Monday, and a Quad Cities native is part of an organization in Carmel, Indiana that has built a one-of-a-kind telescope allowing people to safely witness Monday's eclipse. Dan Kelleher is joining us via Zoom. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, hi, Kyle. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
And I am a big fan of Claire Crippen and your station, and I'm glad to be here.
Claire is a gem. Everyone knows Claire is one of our producers here on Quad Cities Live and on Paula Sands Live as well. She certainly is a gem, and she helped set up this interview. So, Claire, we thank you for that. And we're really glad to have you because you are a Sherrard High School graduate, and now you own Midwest Geosciences Group out of Carmel, Indiana. So tell us a little bit more about your business that you've created.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle, for asking. Midwest Geosciences Group was formed more than 15 years ago to simply help other geologists like myself, engineers and environmental scientists in the environmental and the engineering industry, specifically when it comes to groundwater and construction and building, right? So what we learn at school isn't always what we do in our professions.
Right.
So Midwest Geosciences Group was formed to help with continuing education, skill development, and technical training. But it's ironic today, although that I'm an earth scientist and everything I do for my profession is underground, here I am talking to you today about what's in the sky. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and what a spectacle in the sky that we're going to be experiencing here coming up on Monday. So you've actually been a part of creating this state-of-the-art telescope. It's very filled with technology. So talk about that. It's being dubbed as a first-generation smart telescope technology.
Yeah, very good. It is. Technology has changed, obviously, a lot. It always is changing. Smart telescopes hit the scene late last year. And what it essentially is, it's a firmware that recognizes where that telescope is on Earth. And it takes the coordinates. And from there, it always knows where everything is in the sky, whether it's the nighttime or the daytime.
That's incredible.
Just like if you have an iPhone and at nighttime, you point it toward the sky, and some of these apps can tell you what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same sort of firmware on this smart telescope. And so instead of looking through an eyepiece, I'm holding on to an iPad, I press a button, and that telescope will seek out the deep space object that I want to see, or in this case, during the day, the sun. So it thinks for itself, it looks for the sun, it finds the sun in the sky. And what's one thing that's different about a traditional telescope where you look through the eyepiece and then you look through the reflecting lenses is it will hang on to the image. So instead of having to tweak the traditional telescope to track the image across the sky, the smart telescope will do that on its own through the firmware. It's a great advantage.
That's incredible. And it can even find the sun on a cloudy day as well.
It's possible. But unfortunately, it can't see through the clouds.
Sure.
So it doesn't do much good when it's cloudy or rainy. But on the other hand, this total solar eclipse is a rain or shine event.
Yeah.
Because even if it's raining or even snowing, it's going to be nighttime.
Yes.
During the day. And you, incidentally, you asked Robert before me about the eclipse. That was he was right on with everything he said. But the Quad Cities will see a total solar eclipse in the year 2153.
2153, okay. All right, so many of us will no longer be here, hopefully. I mean, hey, who knows with technology and AI and all that stuff. But I wanted to talk to you about your experience in Carmel, Indiana. You are in the path of totality. So you are actually hosting an event. Your business is hosting an event with the city of Carmel, Indiana for people to view your telescope. But you're also giving people a way to view this online as well.
That's right. If you go to MidwestGeosciencesGroup.com, you will find a QR code and a link to while the total eclipse is occurring and in the 45 minutes before and after, you'll be able to log in and you'll be able to watch the live stream as it's occurring in Carmel, Indiana, right at City Hall. And that's pretty special because the smart telescope has some restrictions in it with the firmware because it's a first generation, like you said, Kyle.
Yeah.
But I'm proud to say Midwest Geosciences Group, our team of IT professionals, were able to figure out a way to take the firmware and connect it to the computer, which we were able to live stream live. And we're going to do that next Monday from City Hall in Carmel, Indiana.
That's incredible. So I want to quickly ask what you use this telescope for in instances where we don't have a solar eclipse. Obviously, this can find anything in the sky.
It can. In fact, at nighttime, you can go out. I go out on the back deck of my house. I can take my iPad. I want to see the Orion Nebula, right? So I don't have to find it in the sky because it will do it for me, right? And it's fantastic at taking photographs as well.
Sounds like an incredible piece of technology, Dan. I'm really excited to check this out here on Monday. So real quick, we wanted to let our viewers know that you can watch a live feed from the SeaStar S50. That's the telescope. You can view that on the City of Carmel, Indiana's Facebook page under the Live Events tab. We will have that link posted on our website, kwqc.com, as well as on our social media pages. You can also check out midwestgeo.com. And real quick, Dan, Quad Cities, you're from Sherrard.
I went to Sherrard High School. Okay. You know, I'm a geologist, so I like to make the joke it was during the Jurassic Age, but I'm not that old despite the gray hair. But there's one thing. Speaking of astronomy, there is one of my favorite people from Sherrard who has a degree and a background in physics.
Yeah.
Astrophysics, not yet, but it's Andy Crippen. He is very special in the physics community, and I had to say shout out to Andy as well.
Yes, thank you very much, Andy, and thank you, Dan, for joining us today. It's been a treat, and hopefully our viewers will be able to check out your telescope on YouTube here coming up on Monday. We appreciate you.
Keep up the good work, Kyle.
Live from the Quad Cities with Morgan Otier and Kyle Keel, this is Quad Cities Live.
Well, there may be big snowflakes flying around outside, but it is April, so we're all thinking spring. While we are a little more than a month away from our safe growing window, there's plenty that we can do now to prepare for our spring gardens. And Emily Swihart from the Illinois Extension Office joins us now. As always, Emily, we thank you for joining us here on Quad Cities Live.
Happy to be here. Yeah, we're hoping spring comes pretty soon. Believe me when I say we can start doing some stuff outside of the yard. But
yeah, and let's get the consistent spring weather. Let's get a good balance between the dry, the warmth, and the rain. But today we're focusing on cool season plants and then how we can get our gardens ready now for our warm season.
Yeah, so April, like this kind of kicks off the season. Like we're ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can actually start planting things here. Okay. So there are cool season crops and then there are warm season crops.
Okay.
You want to hold off on the warm season crops. Those would be, we're too early for that.
Yeah.
But we can plant things like what we've got here. So we've got flowers you can start putting in your landscape.
Yeah.
Violas or pansies is another name that you would know them by.
Okay.
Coming in a variety of colors. On this side of the table, we've got snapdragons. Snapdragons are cool season crops as well. So you can just bring more color into your landscape and that can help you transition from the bulbs into our summer blooming plants. And then edibles. So we've got vegetable crops you can start putting in your garden right now that are cool season. So the first of these would be things like your broccolis and your kales. And then later in a couple of weeks, beginning of May, let's just say beginning of May, then you can start putting in some of your half hardy cool season crops, which would be things like your leaf lettuces, your carrots, your beets, your radishes.
So one thing that we might want to hold off on doing right now is getting those tomato plants in the ground. It's too soon for that, too cool for that, because like you said, you'll have to do a little TLC yourself if you do that right now.
Yeah, so they are popping up in garden centers.
Okay.
And it's so tempting.
Like
you want to be the first one that has a tomato. They're very sensitive to cold temperatures, and we're still having those.
Sure,
and so we want to wait until after our frost-free date, which is mid-May. When we have significantly reduced the risk of frost in our area. If you buy them now, you need to put them under grow lights. Windows are going to make them stretch and kind of ruin them. You're going to need to give them some nutrients. So my advice would be to let garden centers do that for you. Just hang on a few weeks, and then you can go buy them and plant them outside.
So mid-May, we always always talk about in the weather department, it's usually Mother's Day thereafter is when you can start to safely put things in the ground because we're getting farther and farther away from that frost date, and hopefully late May we don't get like a 20-degree temperature or something like that.
Yep.
So what we can also start doing now is cleaning up our gardens.
Yes. Yeah.
This
is. Yep. They are. They are. Hopefully, people left some twigs and branches like staying in the garden for the pollinators.
Yeah.
You can start pulling those out. So what you're going to want to do is start raking. Plants are starting to emerge, so be gentle about raking things out. But you can start, you know, removing that debris, applying fresh layers of mulch to make it look really nice.
Yeah.
You can start caring for those bulbs, those spent bulbs. So I brought some of my daffodils in.
Yeah.
We want to leave the foliage. So the foliage does look like this. It's just kind of a lanceolate leaf. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want to leave that because that's going to feed your bulbs. It's going to continue to do photosynthesis. Okay. So leave this for a while until it starts to turn yellow, and then you can remove it.
All right.
But what you do want to do, first I recommend harvesting the blooms to enjoy inside.
Yes, absolutely.
If you leave them in your landscape and they start looking kind of like this, they're spent, take these out still because these are going to develop into seed heads, which takes energy from the bulbs. So just remove those and leave the leaves on all of your spring bulbs. Tulips, daffodils, all of them.
Okay.
So leave those in the garden for a little bit longer. But a couple of different garden tasks.
All right, there you go. Yeah, bring them in and brighten up your indoors right now. So April is National Arbor Month, so we want to make sure that we're taking care of our trees. We've got Earth Day coming up as well, so that's top of mind. So let's talk about tree care.
Yes. Yep. So April is Arbor Month. We're going to have celebrations. We've got a class coming up here that people can go and learn more about tree care.
Okay.
We want to start removing things from our trees. So this was from my tree.
Yeah.
Many folks have had trees wrapped, the trunks protected. Take these off. Please take these off. Because what these do in the winter is protect the trunks from rodent damage.
Sure.
In the summer months, they can trap moisture and heat inside, which can be damaging for tree trunks. So take these off. You can see these images here. One's wrapped in burlap. That's probably an evergreen. Take that off. Things are starting to break bud and need to have access to the sunlight. You can also apply mulch. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say we need some water on those trees, but I think we're good for now.
Yeah, I think we're good. We got plenty of that over the last few days.
I think we're okay water-wise. But you can start caring for trees in that way. It's oftentimes, I like to tell people to plant trees in April. It's a really good time to plant trees, except this year. So I would like to recommend people hold off on planting new trees this year because we have the periodical cicadas. Coming.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And
there's supposed to be like a billion or a trillion or something like that. Something like that. I'm not exaggerating.
It's we're going to have a lot.
Yeah.
We'll have a lot of cicadas, and they lay their eggs in the bark of small twigs on trees.
Oh,
and so
okay.
if you plant new trees, they're often small in size. So I would just recommend holding off until after they've emerged. And so we'll talk all about cicadas in May.
I was going to say that's getting closer to cicada time. So we'll have a lot to talk about next month. That's for sure. Well, if you want more information or tips for the upcoming horticultural events, if you want to take a look at those, there's many workshops and webinars as well. You can visit extension.illinois.edu. Emily, as always, thanks for joining us. And we look forward to talking to you next month.
My pleasure.
And hopefully we'll be well into getting close to that gardening season.
Yep.
Well, if you're caring for your garden, you want your home to match as well. Up next on QCL, a mowing interior designer joins us with new ideas to freshen up the spring.
You're watching Quad Cities Live.
Spring is a time for renewal, and if you're looking to brighten up your home, well, we've got someone who can help. Courtney Lawrence from Courtney Lawrence Studio is here to help us get our interior designed all nice and bright for the spring season. Courtney, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. All right, so you are based out of Moline, but I mean, with your business, you have a wide reach across the country, and you know, you've kind of dabbled in teaching a little bit. Now you're teaching in a different way.
Yes.
Talk about how your business got started.
Yeah, so in 2020, I decided to kind of switch from teaching and corporate training to my other passion, which is interior design. And so COVID hit, I had my second child, and it was just a time for me to start Courtney Lawrence Studio. So I started, and things were virtual at that time, which was totally okay because I've helped a lot of clients across the country. I can do this all virtually, but I've also then grown my local presence as well, where I can help clients locally going to their homes to give advice or just doing it all virtual as well if they prefer that.
So really the start in the pandemic, it sounds like it almost benefited you because now that you understand how to navigate this virtually, you're able to broaden your reach beyond the Quad Cities. But I mean, you definitely do focus on local as well.
Yes, exactly. And local is great because if people prefer me to come to their homes, then I'm more than happy to do that. So we can kind of do either that or all, you know, computer design stuff, or we can do a mix of both.
All right, so tell us how this process works. Someone reaches out to you. What is a consultation like?
Yeah, so someone will reach out and they'll briefly tell me what they need help with.
Okay.
And I have a range of services. One would be an in-person visit where I would go to their home and give advice. Another would be a phone call with advice. Okay. And then the next would be like an actual design. I would create a room design for them.
Oh, sure, okay.
And so that could be like a partial design or a full room design. Okay. So we would, you know, talk about their space. I would get to know them and what their needs are and their wants. And then I create a space for them, show them what their room would look like if they went ahead and did everything that I was suggesting.
So would you actually go out to the store with them and kind of help them purchase these items, or is it just kind of like you're giving it all in there, leaving it to them?
Yeah, so my role is to create all the images. Okay. I create shopping lists for them, and then I give them a design guide, which is all of my tips, suggestions, advice of how to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I hand everything off to them.
Okay.
And of course, I'm always available for if they need help, they have questions. But yeah, it's worked out perfectly.
And some of the images of the before and after are jarring, because you wouldn't think, it's like, how do you come up with this? So you've got a few images. So talk about some of these. It looks like this is a bedroom.
Yeah, so
we can definitely tell which one was the before, the one on the left.
Definitely. A lot of people, when they come to me, they've tried some things themselves, or maybe they have no interest in trying themselves. And so, you know, their room is either a blank slate or it's at a point where they're just stuck.
Sure.
And so they show me their images, or I'll go to their home and see their images, and then I'm able to use all of my interior design knowledge, my creative brain, to then put together a design and show them what it will look like when they then go ahead and implement everything.
So this one right here, it looks like it was a regular bedroom that was transformed into a nursery.
Wow. Yes, yes. And this is where the designs really are super helpful, because some people can visually see things, mm-hmm. and some people can't. And
that's
they really,
me. I'm some people.
Yeah, and so they really need to be able to see it to know what I'm talking about before they go ahead and do it.
Sure. And then we have another one of an office area.
Yep. Yep. And so
it looks like a completely different room.
Yes. And I think that's the powerful thing about interior design, is that you don't really have to spend a lot of money to make a difference. I mean, paint, furniture choices, some of those things, you know, it's $100, a couple hundred dollars, depending. Light bulbs can make a big difference to make a huge change, a huge impact in your space.
And a little can go a long way.
Exactly.
So obviously you provide a lot of different offerings for people. Mm-hmm. So you've got a workshop that's coming up on April 19th.
Yes.
And
it's called a mood board.
Okay, so you'll be doing this there. So tell us what this is.
So at the workshop coming up, we will be diving deep into home design styles.
Okay.
Everybody has a different style.
Sure.
Not everybody knows what theirs is. So we'll be really talking about that, honing in on design styles, and then creating a physical mood board. A lot of times people will do this on the computer, but I highly recommend doing it with your hands and creating a physical one. It makes more of an impact that
way.
I'll be there to walk people through my process of how to do this, because there are specific things that need to be included on this, and specific things you need to identify for this to be able to work.
Sure.
So that way then when they leave the workshop, they will have something to take home and then be able to put a space together in their home.
Personalizing it for you. So real quick, you have a special for our viewers watching right now.
Yes. So if you sign up for the workshop within the next 24 hours, I will put you in a drawing to win my design workbook, which is basically all my tips and advice in a workbook for you to walk through it on your own at home.
CourtneyLawrenceStudio.com. Sign up, get the discount, and go to that event coming up on the 19th. Courtney, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for watching Quad Cities Live. Your local news at 4 is coming up next.